So I assume everyone has heard quite a few talks about quantum key distribution by now. As we all know, that's the main achievement of quantum cryptography so far. And the question I have been looking at this work is, what about unconditional security for other cryptographic tasks? And the setting at which I'm looking is somewhat different from QKD. In QKD, you have two honest parties that are connected by an insecure channel. And the problem is to protect those parties against someone eavesdropping on the channel. In the setting that I'm considering, the task is different. We have two or more parties which might themselves be dishonest and try to gain advantage on the other party. And the task is to protect honest parties against dishonest parties. So here is the particular cryptographic problem I'm looking at. We have two parties, Alice and Bob, and they want to flip a coin to determine some outcome that is zero or one. And one outcome benefits one party, the other outcome benefits another party, and neither of the two parties trusts the other to flip the coin. So what we want is a cryptographic scheme that would produce zero with probability half and one with probability half if both parties are honest. And in case if one party is honest but the other party is dishonest, the honest party is still guaranteed that no matter what the other person does, the probability of outcome zero is at most half plus epsilon, and the probability of one is at most half plus epsilon. So, first of all, what is known about this problem in classical, that is, non-quantum world? In non-quantum world, if both parties have unlimited computational power, then there is always one party that can act so that it achieves either zero or one with certainty, no matter what the honest party does. So as long as both parties are of unlimited computational power, there is no way to protect one of them against the other. And once we introduce assumptions that the parties have limited computational power, there are good protocols possible. And here is how classical protocols for coin flipping work with computational assumptions. Each of parties generates a random bit, and the final result is going to be parity of those two bits. And the good thing about this approach is that as long as one bit is truly random, the parity is going to be truly random no matter what the other party's bit is. So the only difficulty is to make the two parties reveal bits one to another so that one party does not lend the other party's bit before revealing its own. And for that, one can use a cryptographic primitive called bit commitment. So bit commitment, in bit commitment, one party tells the other party an encrypted version of its bit so that the other party does not learn the value, but the committing party gives away enough information so that the committed bit cannot be changed later. So Alice starts by committing her bit. At that point, Bob is still unable to compute Alice's bit, but he has enough information so that Alice cannot change the bit later. Then Bob tells his bit to Alice, and then Alice reveals the commitment. And here is what we have in the quantum case. In quantum case, we have a protocol in which no dishonest party can force any of the two outcomes with probability more than 3/4. So this is less than what we would have ideally. Ideally, we would like to have protocol in which no cheater can succeed with probability more than half or more than half plus epsilon. Now, the interesting feature is that this is more than is possible classically. In this case, the protocol is secure against parties with unlimited computational power. Even a cheater with an unlimited computational power cannot force an outcome with probability more than 3/4. In contrast, if we go back to the classical protocol on the previous slide, this protocol inherently uses the fact that parties have limited computational power. So computing Alice's bit out of Alice's commitment is not impossible. It's just computationally hard. So this protocol works only under assumption that Bob's computational power is limited. Okay, so this is what the classical protocol looked like. Quantum protocol is almost the same. Alice still commits her bit. Bob still reveals his bit in open form. And then Alice provides Bob with some information that allows him to check her commitment from the first step and to see that he indeed committed value A. Okay, now the problem with this is I think at least half of you have heard that quantum bit commitment is impossible. That's a result from about 96, discovered independently by Lo Chow and Myers. So given this result, how can we design protocol with quantum bit commitment? So the precise statement of Lo Chow Myers result is that a perfect quantum bit commitment is impossible. If state received by Bob contains no information about Alice, then Alice can change commitment perfectly. So this is indeed impossible, but it's possible to design a commitment in which Alice gives away some information about quantum state that lets Bob learn her bit with some probability, and because of that, she's unable to change commitment perfectly. So Alice commits her bit by sending some quantum state that depends on it. Then, given this state, Bob can guess Alice's bit with probability at most 3/4. And because of information that she gave away, Alice can change the commitment with probability also at most 3/4. And that's almost optimal, as showed by Alexei Kitayev. Namely, in any quantum protocol with two quantum parties with unlimited computational power, there is one party that can force one of two outcomes with probability at least 1/√2. So there is a small gap between those two probabilities, but the question is essentially settled. Now, there are a few variants of this problem which are less settled. So, for example, let's assume that outcome 0 means that Alice wins the coin flip, and outcome 1 means that Bob wins the coin flip. And let's say that they know in advance, before designing protocol, which outcome is good for Alice and which outcome is good for Bob. So in this case, what we want is a protocol in which no cheating party can win with probability more than P. And we don't really need any protection against parties that are intentionally trying to lose coin flip. If they want to lose, fine. And in this case, there is a sequence of protocols with probabilities better than in the case when we wanted to protect in both directions. And the best known protocol is by Marchand, with no party being able to cheat successfully with probability more than 2/3. And there might be much better protocols. We only know that there is no protocol in which cheater gains no advantage whatsoever. There might be, say, protocol in which cheater only gains exponentially small advantage. Or maybe even doubly exponentially small. And by exponentially small, I mean exponentially small in the amount of information that is communicated. So that was all background. Now, this is the main work that I'm going to tell about. So consider a coin flip with K parties. So K parties, still two outcomes, 0 and 1. And what we want is to protect against the case when K minus 1 of them might be jointly trying to fix the outcome of a coin flip. So what we want is a protocol in which if everyone is honest, we get 0 with probability half, 1 with probability half. If K minus 1 parties are dishonest, 1 party is honest. The honest party is still guaranteed that there is some small probability epsilon, but the rest does not succeed. And we can design a protocol in which K minus 1 cheating parties cannot bias coin with probability more than 1 over 1 minus some constant over K. And this is tied up to the exact value of the constant. So the guarantee is somewhat weak. They are only guaranteed that there is a probability of constant over K of cheaters not succeeding. But it works even if all but one party are working together towards one outcome. And the basic idea is fairly simple. So what we do is we do a sequence of non-quantum constructions on top of a variant for two-party coin flipping. So divide K parties in pairs and make each pair do a weak coin flipping and determine the winner in that pair. Then take K over 2 winning parties, split those in pairs once again. Then, yes?
You're doing the weak, this is multi-party weak coin flipping?
This is multi-party strong, but I'm using weak coin flipping in each pair. Okay, so in this case, we start with 4 parties, we get 2 winners. Then, if we had more than 2 parties, we would divide them into pairs again. If we have just 2 parties, we take those 2 parties, we force them to do strong coin flipping. And then the result of the strong coin flip done by those 2 parties is the outcome of the protocol. So we have log k rounds until we are down to two parties. And then in each round, the probability that if there is one honest party, then the probability of that of the dishonest party not winning is at least 1/3. So the probability that an honest party reaches the final round is 1/3 to the number of rounds. And then in the final round, the probability, if there is one honest, one dishonest party, the probability of dishonest party not succeeding is at least 1/4. So this is the probability of the bad guys failing. 1/4 for the first round times 1/3 for each other round. And that works out to be of order 1 over k to some power, which is actually slightly less than 1.78, what I wrote on the slide. So 1.78 is using an earlier version of weak coin flipping with probability that is worse than 1/3. Okay, so this is a simple protocol that achieves, that guarantees honest party, but the other parties don't fail with probability 1 over k to 1.7 something. Now, what I promised was slightly stronger. I promised a protocol in which bad guys don't fail with probability at least constant over k. So for that, I need a few more things. So if we think of a two-party protocol, in quantum case, there are really three outcomes, not two. There are two obvious outcomes. So let's say Alice is the honest party. There are two obvious outcomes. Alice wins and Alice loses. And there is also a third outcome that Alice detects that Bob has been cheating. And in that case, she has caught a cheating party and she can terminate the protocol because she knows that the remaining parties are not playing honestly against her. And in general, being caught cheating is more costly for a dishonest party than simply losing coin flip. If you simply lose a coin flip, then there might... So let's say that this one two-party coin flip is a part of bigger protocol. If a dishonest party loses the coin flip, then some other dishonest party might still win the protocol at a later stage. If a dishonest party is caught cheating, then an honest party can exit the protocol and there might not be another chance for another dishonest party. So here is a way to model it. So let's say that a party that wins the coin flip gains one coin. A party that loses one. And if one party is caught cheating, then they lose some amount L that is more than one. And now we want to optimize the maximum expected win by a dishonest party under those constraints. So what I claim is that if both parties are honest, each wins with probability half, loses with probability half, and then there is a protocol in which an honest party is guaranteed, But no matter what the other party does, their expected win is of order at most 1 over square root of the penalty. So by making penalty for cheating sufficiently large, we can make cheaters' gain sufficiently small. Okay, so let's say that we are now thinking about K-party coin flipping, and we are thinking about weak coin flip that is part of it. And we want to know what is the natural penalty for cheating in this setting. So let's say player one is honest, player two and everyone else are dishonest. So if player one loses, then he's eliminated from the protocol, and there are only bad guys left. And starting from that point, they can do whatever they want. So bad guys win. If player one wins, he's still facing K over 2 minus 1 bad guys who can win with some probability P. And then if player one catches player two, he has the right to terminate the protocol, and then cheaters lose with probability one. So first case, cheaters win with probability one. Second case, cheaters win with probability P. Third case, cheaters win with probability zero. Okay, that's exactly what I said. So translating those things to the setting of penalties, winning with probability one corresponds to winning one unit, winning with probability P corresponds to losing one, winning with probability zero corresponds to losing with probability L. So we just linearly interpolate between probabilities and expected wins. And that comes out to penalty L being 1 plus P over 1 minus P. Okay, so if we have quantum protocol for K over 2 parties in which cheaters can win with probability P, then we can get a quantum protocol for K parties in which cheaters win with probability 1 plus P over 2 times the term of order square root of 1 over P. And the way how this expression comes about is following. So let's say that the cheating party in the first round did not cheat at all. Then with probability half, he would win, eliminating the only honest party and letting the other party set the outcome. With probability half, he would lose, and that would still let the K over two other parties win with probability P. So if cheating is restricted to last, if there is no cheating in the first round, this is the probability of bad guys winning. And then we have this protocol in which cheaters cannot gain advantage of more than 1 over square root of L. Substituting our expression for L into that gives that order square root of 1 over P terms there.
If you have 1 minus P there, is that
That's all square root of 1 minus p.
Is that constant order, right?
Well, only if p is not too close to 1. Okay, so this is the result that we get after we are done with calculation, with all the calculations. K minus 1 cheating parties cannot successfully fix outcome with probability one more than 1 minus constant over k. Okay, so there is one quantum black box that I successfully avoided describing. That is the coin flipping protocol with penalties for cheating. I will now sketch what is inside of this black box. Essentially, it follows the same structure as the two-party strong coin flipping protocol. Alice sends a quantum state that depends on her bit. Then Bob opens his bit. And then Alice describes what quantum state she has sent, allowing Bob to check her behavior from the first step. And if we were just interested in strong coin flipping with no penalties, then Alice would send one of those two states to commit to zero. That is superposition of 0 and 1 with probabilities with equal amplitudes and either or equal or opposite signs. And to commit to 1, she would send one of two superpositions of 0 and a state 2. And what happens is that these are non-orthogonal states, so they cannot be distinguished perfectly. But they give us some information about Alice's bit. So at the end, if Alice sends a description of which state she sent in the first step, then Bob is able to check the state from the first step against that description, and Alice cannot successfully cheat with him with probability 1. And so commitment to 0 and 1 can be distinguished by probability at most 3/4. That's just a calculation of trace distance between the mixed state consisting of two commitments to 0 and mixed state consisting of two commitments to 1. And on the other hand, for any state that Alice might send as commitment, the average of probability to open this state as 0 and probability to successfully open it as 1 is at most 3/4. Proving that involves a one-page calculation of fidelities between quantum states, which I'll skip. So if we look at this protocol from perspective of catching cheaters, it's asymmetric. That is, Bob can measure the state that Alice sent him without any risk of being caught. The state is with him. He's not going to send it back at any point. If he measures it, Alice will never learn that he did it. On the other hand, if Alice tries to sense a state that is not a mixture of two states representing 0, then she will inevitably be caught at the final step with some probability. So now we go to the setting where cheating parties are penalized. And as I noted on the previous slide, Bob never gets caught cheating. So if we want a protocol where expected win by any party is at most 1 over square root of L, then we need a protocol in which Bob cannot cheat at all with probability more than that. So commitment can be measured with no risk. So we want a protocol in which Bob can't measure commitment well. So what we do is we make commitment states close, making them hard to distinguish. So the problem of that is that it tremendously increases Alice's power to switch commitments. But because of the penalty term, it suffices to have a relatively small probability of Bob catching Alice. So all that cheating Alice can do is to increase the probability of her winning from 0.5 to 1. So if there is a penalty of L, then that can be balanced out by 1 over L probability of getting caught. So 1 over L probability of getting caught times penalty of L is a loss of 1 for Alice, and that would cancel out even otherwise perfect cheating. And if we make those four states close while keeping them to be superpositions in three dimensions, we can achieve that. Okay, so that's all I'll tell about the protocol. So lower bounds. In any quantum protocol, k minus 1 cheaters can achieve outcome 0 with probability at least 1 over k root of 2, which is roughly 1 minus log 2 over k. And this is a generalization of Kitayev's really amazing proof for two parties. So here is how Kitayev's argument works. So describe Alice's and Bob's optimal strategies by semi-definite programs. And then look at the dual programs to one describing Alice's success probability and Bob's success probability. So here is a primal semi-definite program for Bob. That expression there is the probability that Alice accepts outcome, say, 1 as the true outcome of coin flip. And those two constraints essentially are formalizations of saying that Bob cannot change quantum bits that are stored in Alice's private quantum memory. And other than that, he can do anything, well, anything that is unitary, basically. So then we write out a semi-definite program for Alice, semi-definite program for Bob. Then we look at dual programs, and by some magic that I haven't been able to comprehend myself, this proves that probability of dishonest Alice achieving outcome 1 times probability of dishonest Bob achieving 1 is that should be at most instead of at least. So it's at most. It's at most probability that honest Alice and honest Bob agree on outcome one, which is half, because honest coin flip is half-half. And this comes out of a dual of semi-definite program after about page of calculations, which I'm able to comprehend formally, but not intuitively. And then the consequence is that the probabilities of dishonest Alice and dishonest Bob succeeding multiply to at most half. So one of them has to be at most 1 over square root of 2. And in K-party case, we just mimic this argument. We write out K semi-definite programs, each of which describes K minus 1 cheaters versus 1 honest party. And then what we get is that the probabilities of K minus 1 dishonest parties in those cases multiply to 1/2. So one of those probabilities has to be at most 1 over case root of 2. Okay, so that's all about K-party coin flipping. Now, two side stories. So first of all, this amazing argument about Vaikitaio completely breaks down for weak coin flipping. If you do the argument, what you get is that probability of dishonest Alice achieving convincing Bob that outcome is 0 times probability of Bob convincing Alice that outcome is 1 is at most, is at least the probability of honest Alice and Bob, honest Alice agreeing that outcome is 0 and honest Bob agreeing that outcome is 1. Now, in honest protocol, in honest case, the two parties always get the same outcome. They don't get different outcomes. So all that Kitayo's argument shows in this case is that the product of the probabilities of two cheaters succeeding is at least 0. So Kitayo's argument gives no lower bound whatsoever. And I haven't been able to fix that. I mean, it looks like such a minor technical point, weak coin flipping versus strong, but it's not clear what it is. Okay. Yeah, so this is summary of what we know about coin flipping. So two parties strong is almost settled, 0.71 versus 3/4. K party is settled, it's 1 minus constant over K. The only question is a constant. And I'm being computer scientist here, I think upper bound and lower bound constants actually differ by quite a bit. And then in weak case, we know there is a protocol in which cheaters can succeed with probability at most 2/3. There might be protocols with probability very close to half. So that's the most open problem of the three. And so that was the first side story. Now here is the second side story. And this is another problem for which we know that there is no perfect quantum protocols, but we don't know what type of imperfect protocols exist. So let's say that Alice has two bits, x0 and x1, And Bob wants to learn one of them in such a way that he's guaranteed that Alice does not learn. Well, first of all, he gets a bit. Second, Alice does not get to know which bit Bob retrieved, and Alice is guaranteed that Bob has not retrieved both bits. So this is oblivious transfer. It's extremely important in classical cryptography, and Quark von Loo showed that perfect quantum oblivious transfer is impossible. Now, that's exactly the situation as for coin flipping and as for strong coin flipping and bit commitment. Perfect quantum protocol is impossible. Now, what about imperfect protocols? So there are three parameters here with respect to which we might have imperfections. So first of all, there are two security parameters. So we want to protect the party that retrieves, that has the two bits against the other party, which I'll call receiver, guessing both bits. So ideally, if receiver gets one bit, then the probability that he's able to guess the other one is half. So we want to keep the probability of receiver guessing both bits at one half. Second, we want the owner of the two bits to be able to guess which bit is retrieved with probability at most half, as in random guess. And finally, if we want to increase, the third parameter is whether the protocol gives the correct answer. So ideally, we would like the receiver to get the correct correct one bit with probability half. But if we are looking at imperfect protocols, we might be willing to settle for protocol in which receiver gets correct bit with some large probability instead of one. So there are three things that we could hope for. Perfect security in both directions with some guarantee about correctness. Or perfect security in one direction with perfect correctness and some imperfect guarantee in the other direction. So there are three possibilities. The first one is possible. There is a protocol in which the receiving party learns the required bit with probability 86%, and it's perfectly secure against cheating by both parties. The second one is impossible. There is no perfectly secure protocol that provides the owner of the two bits with no information about which bit is being retrieved, while guaranteeing any non-trivial protection against a cheater retrieving both bits. The third possibility, perfect correctness, perfect protection against retrieving both bits, some guarantee about owner of the two bits not learning which bit is being retrieved, the third one is open. Okay, so that's all. same. I'm not sure if I have the same. If we have the same protocol in. Well, okay. Okay. Well, let's discuss. Well, let's discuss this after. Yeah. Yes. Which the first one? Okay, well, yes, it's extremely simple. So basically, the sending party sends one of four BBAT or four random access code states. So four states at angles of 45 degrees, one to another. And oh yeah, this is 1110. So to retrieve the first bit, the receiver just measures it in these bases. To receive the second bit, the sender measures it in a basis at 45 degrees. That might be right. Well, it's also not secure with respect to running multiple copies of itself in parallel. All that I'm claiming is some security about single copy. Yeah.
Where do you think the correct answer is?
I have no idea.
So the Tea Party case looks like this is strong.
Yes.
Do you know of anything like that in the Tea Party case?
Okay, well, okay, I can't answer immediately. Oh yes, yeah. I forgot about that one. So basically you can use classical tricks to reduce the case with delta K cheaters to the case of order 1 over delta parties. Okay, if you have a case with delta k honest parties, you can reduce that to case of order 1 over delta parties with one of, at least one of them being honest. So all the results are still true with 1 over fraction of honest parties instead of k.